Radio.
Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it. Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody before we're through. So take my hand and spin me in and hang me in emotions, man. I'll tell you where I think we stand. Let's get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Hey everybody, this is Joe DeRosa.
This is Kurt Brownler.
This is Emotional Hangs, the podcast where two men get vulnerable with one another.
Real soft.
Real soft. This week we're going to be answering your questions. What a special episode. Answering questions from the fans.
And so you guys have like a framework for this. This is, we're recording these in your past, and you will be listening to them in our future. So this is the first episode that we've recorded since the, since we've started airing airing Emotional Hangs.
On Feral.
On Feral Audio.
Yes.
And so we just got a bunch of questions from you guys because we asked for questions in the first episode.
Yes.
And first off, thank you everyone for all of your feedback and encouragement and questions, because we got a ton of questions.
Thank you all.
And if you like it, you know, please just go and like it on iTunes and all that stuff. I don't know. Review it? Is that what happens?
Yeah, leave a 5-star review.
Yeah. To battle, because we have to consciously battle the trolls that will give everything Joe does a 1-star review.
Yeah. In fact, if you're listening, I'd appreciate it if you went and gave my albums a few 5-star reviews, because they have been trolled down to like 1.5 ratings at this point. I have 5 albums out on iTunes. The newest is You Let Me Down. And I'm sorry, I just got distracted because Kurt's not using a coaster.
I'm not using a coaster.
We're in my house.
Oh, surprise, surprise. All of a sudden it's Vincent Price here with his expensive, what looks like to be a dollar store.
Oh, sorry.
Coaster my face.
I honestly didn't mean to hit your face, but you did deserve that. Sorry.
This is from a homeless shelter.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Why? I like those things. I think they're nice end tables.
I think they're nice end tables too, Jeff.
Fucking blow me. Sorry that I didn't go to CB4 or wherever that store is that you fucking people shop.
Me? I don't shop at CB4.
What's that place called?
I don't know.
CB2, Crate and Barrel.
Oh, CB2.
Yeah.
Crate and Barrel 2.
Where everybody in LA shops.
Yeah.
Oh, look, we paid $1,000 for our bean bag. But you fucking idiots.
But the advantage of having an older piece of end table is that you don't have to have a coaster to...
What world do you come from? No, take care of it so it lasts another 30 years.
But no one has taken care of it yet.
Yes, they have.
The top of this table's all fucked up, Joe.
Oh, I never noticed that. Maybe it's because you've been sitting over there. And it's all fucked up now.
So please go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating. Battle Joe's 1-stars.
Yeah, You Let Me Down's my new album and special, and Kurt's is...
Called Trust Me, and it's out there too. You can listen, watch, download to own. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and in future, anytime you want to send us a question or DM... feature is completely open on Twitter. You can DM us a question anytime you want, and we'll be doing these question answer episodes every now and then. So
also, I'm just gonna take a photo of this that you want me to put a coaster on. Okay, I'm gonna post it, and everybody else can tell me.
This is why there's trolls.
This is
why, because people like you do things like this.
Look at that there. I took a photo of it. We'll post it. You tell me if your first thought is, well, let me get a coaster under this fucking glass before I put it down here. Listen, Joe, I like your stuff. You have nice stuff. I'm not disrespecting you. But you're giving me business about not using a coaster.
You know, I see my pillow on the floor that was
on
that chair.
There's too many pillows in this chair.
Well, move it to a chair, Kurt.
You know what? What's going on? We haven't seen each other for a while. So this is just us getting all the little stuff out up top.
Who throws it on the ground like that?
Wait, oh my God. A dog walks on this ground.
I have OCD.
A dog lays on that couch, too.
And I don't like it. And if I could stop that from happening, I would.
It's the tiniest, most adorable dog.
He's great. Hi, Con.
Hey, Con.
Yeah, there he is.
All right, so we got a lot of great questions. You guys really did a fantastic job asking, and so we will try to do a good job answering.
All right, so on the count of three, one, two, three,
let's get soft.
You want to go first?
Sure. All righty. I'm looking up a great one here. Just going through people just saying, here we go, okay. Okay, this is just a thought that someone had. Some of them I'd realized aren't questions. Okay, here's a question. Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
You got it?
Yeah. This is a long thing.
Okay.
Okay. We gotta edit this part. God damn it.
We don't gotta edit it.
No? Okay.
Go ahead. Just read the whole thing.
How do I get... Okay, this is a question from Chelsea. How do I get a guy to be my friend? I used to do comedy, so 80% of my friends were dudes, and I miss that so much! Exclamation point. I can't just go out for a beer and meet a male friend. I don't really want a date. I'm not over the ex. I just want a dude to bro down with. This is that's a tough question. So
let me recap the gist of it.
Yeah.
She misses having guy friends, but now she's a comic, and all the comics that she tries to be friends with who are guys want to date her.
No, I used to do comedy.
Oh.
So 80% of my friends were dudes then, and now she no longer does comedy, so she doesn't have that, like, dude friend thing going on.
Why doesn't she still just hang out with the dudes from comedy?
Maybe she moved. It could be a move. Up front is, she had a baby. This was background that she gave me. She had a baby 2 years ago and totally experienced what I'm about to experience. Your social life takes a huge back seat, and she lost some of her best friends. So she had a baby, and I guess she lost a lot of her friends.
Right.
So now she just wants some dude friends. This is very difficult because I don't know where you just go as a lady to get dude friends.
Well, I think we need to examine the baby part, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there is... Look, here's the thing, and I don't mean this callously, but it is important to say. And it doesn't just go for parents. It also goes for people that find their soulmate or they get married or whatever. I think there is an idea, and I'm not saying she has this idea,
mm-hmm.
but I do think a lot of people have this idea that when you find this other thing... be it a husband or a wife or a kid or both, that is, in fact, the most important thing in your life, which I would probably agree with most of the time. That usually is the most important thing in somebody's life. But that everybody else should understand that and be ready when you're ready to come back. And it doesn't work like that. You have to still consciously put effort into your friendships. Now, she may or may not have done that. I don't know.
Right.
If your friends have ditched you because you have a kid and they're like, well, you're boring now. Well, then they're assholes and they were never your friends to begin with. If you, however, didn't take the time to spend time with them, whether it was because you were too overwhelmed or whatever it was, there's no wrong or right. You have to accept the fact that you chose something over that friendship, and now you have to start over again. You know, so that's an important thing that I believe to keep cognizant of, because if you don't, it's easy to slip into the resentful thing of like, well, I had a baby, now I don't have friends. You know what I mean? Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree.
So
you have to work on it, but also I think if she's just trying to get new friends.
Well,
new
that's the
friends.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
That's interesting because I'm not sure, like, where is a place where a woman could go and meet a dude and then have it be very clear that, like, I'm not interested in dating. I don't want to have sex. I just want to be buds. I almost feel like an improv class.
Oh, God. I mean, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
That's a tough sell. Look,
an improv class is a tough sell. Agreed. But only because...
No. I'm married and I have a kid and I just met you, but I just want to be pals.
Oh, right.
That's going to be a tough sell for most guys at this age.
But if she went to a place where it was mostly married men or mostly dudes in relationships, and I don't know what that place is. Is it a squash court? Like, where are mostly only married men hanging out?
There is no... Look, maybe I'm being negative.
Yeah.
There is... I can't imagine a scenario where a woman is approaching a married man and saying, let's spend some time together, but just as friends. And he goes back to his wife and he's like, no, it's cool. We're just friends. I don't see the scenario of that happening. I see the scenario where you meet a new couple and the couples become friends. And then because of that, you get to be friends with the guy and you and the guy can go do things and it's not weird. You know, if you were away and I grabbed coffee with your wife, you wouldn't think that was weird. I know her because I know you guys.
Yeah.
But I certainly think you would find it a little strange if you were away and then your wife was like, hey, I met this guy, Joe, who you've never met. Yeah. He'd like to spend time with me, but just as friends.
Yeah, that's very difficult as well. I think she's just going to have to deal with guys like hitting on her and her just being very clear the whole time. Like, hey, I want to hang out, but this is just friendship for me. I think she just has to do that. And you can do that. I've made friends that way.
I'll tell you how you do it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how you do it. And I'm dead serious about this. You roll into the party and you be the party dude at the party.
Yeah.
If you roll in with the attitude of like, let's do shots, you pussies.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourselves. I got a family to get home to, so I don't got time to waste. Let's get wasted. You're going to make guy friends real quick.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's my advice.
I love it. I think that that's great. And my advice is take an improv class.
This is the difference between Kurt and myself. We were walking into my apartment today, and I said, and we saw a dog. Do what you did to the dog. It wasn't my dog. It was a dog just sitting on a balcony we were walking by.
Oh, well, look at this little Mr. Man. Hi, buddy.
And I said, that is why you will be a good father and why I will never be a father. Because Kurt does that to strange dogs, and I stare at the ground. So, anyway, Kurt's going to be a dad. I'm going to be alone. They'll find me one day, dead, and you'll all miss me. In a serious note, though, I want to thank John St. Amand, fan of the show. He is the creator of the Emotional Hangs Twitter account, which now does exist. You can follow us at Emotional Hangs on Twitter. And John, thank you so much for making that account. We really, really, really appreciate it. You came out to the shows in Boston. You were a very nice man, and you had a good time, and I had a good time, and we all just had a good time, didn't we, John? Didn't we? All right, next question. This one comes to us from at WJK Creations, a man named Walt Keegan. Now, this is a long thing, but, you know, let's get all the details. I'm going to read the whole thing. Emotional Hangs question. Well, less of a question, more of a discussion point. Has the Trump presidency killed some of your friendships? I already love this. I love this question already. This is a really good one. I have a friend who kind of forced on me, as he is married to my... I have a friend who's been kind of forced on me as he is married to my wife's best friend. All right, so this kind of ties now into the first question that we got today. Nice enough guy, but we have little in common. He's a sports guy, and I could care less. And he tends to be a bit of a America racist, which I turn my back to usually due to the circumstance. Yeah, that always sucks, by the way, when you're in a situation where one person that you like, your wife, or somebody like that, is friends with somebody else who seems pretty reasonably cool, and then that person is connected to somebody like her husband who's sort of like inappropriate or racist or something like that, and you just kind of have to like, ugh, that sucks. Because then you're in a bad spot. What do you do? You say something, it's going to be a whole blow up. You don't know what this guy's going to do. You don't say anything, you feel guilty, and you're not standing up for your ethic. It's a terrible situation to be in. Anyway, since the election, I have seen him once on New Year's Eve. Not looking forward to any gathering with him or his friends. All birds of the same feather. Okay. So while I haven't broken up with him, my wife is still best friends with his. I really have no interest in hanging out because I know eventually the Trump thing will come up, and I have no interest in entertaining the discussion with someone who is that pro for the tangerine tyrant. Have you had any stress with relationships due to this in the past few months?
Great question.
I will say, you know, look, first of all, my heart goes out to you. It's a tough situation to be in, as I already said, when you're when you have ethical or even moral differences with a person that you have to be in close circumstances and quarters with. It's not, you know, everybody likes to run their mouth. Hey, tell your parents to fuck off if they don't. Okay. Okay. It's a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
So it's a tough situation to be in. That being said, I did not vote for Trump. I do not support Trump, but I also, and this will probably upset some listeners, did not vote for Hillary, and I do not support Hillary. I didn't like either candidate. So I have found it very difficult from both sides, finding people being very, very, very passionate about how they feel right now, and me being in a position where I am often yelled at by either party for telling them that I don't support theirs. So that sucks. But, you know, I think it's a confusing time. I think it's a tough time. And I think everybody's got to kind of try to figure it out in their own way and capacity right now. And unfortunately, as much tyranny is coming from the right, we're getting an almost equal level combating it from the left. So everybody's going to tell you you're wrong somewhere. That being said, you know, I think we all have to be kind of open-minded, certainly not to racism or anything like that, but we all need to kind of keep an open mind as to why a person might think a certain candidate is for them.
Now, I have a different opinion on this.
You do? Oh, please.
I do, because of the fact that it's, and I think about this a lot, that it's, to me, very difficult to... Based on the facts of what exists about what Trump has done, what he's said, mm-hmm. who he is as a person, that I understand if you're conservative and you want, say, smaller government, or you're conservative right. and you really want abortion to be illegal, something like that. That's like your core belief.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, this Trump guy, he's the one who's going to get it done. But you overlook how dangerous he is.
Sure.
I feel like that's a deep irresponsibility.
Well, I don't disagree with that.
And I don't know how I could have a friendship with someone who was like, I'm a big Trump fan.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I don't disagree with what you're saying. What I'm saying is we have to realize that there are other people out there that are not in our circumstance and do not have the time and access we have with the news. Look, we're comedians.
Right.
We have all day long,
yep.
even if we're on set or whatever.
To look at the news.
To look at the news and get all the facts and read all the things and yep. blah, 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 blah. There are a lot of people out there that are working 2 and 3 jobs and don't have time for that. So
agreed.
If somebody in that position, or even somebody with one job that's just working hard and has a family. So somebody in that position, if they're going, well, I like them because of this and that. Do I agree with that? No. But do I have at least an open enough of a mind to say, okay, maybe this person isn't a racist, but maybe they're just only hearing certain things right now.
I think that that's 100% true. I feel yeah. like they're like, they hear one thing, they voted for him, and then they're like, hey, doing a good job, but they're not paying attention to what he's actually doing. Like, I feel like that's very common, where it's just like, yeah, I check in when I vote, and then I check out, and I don't pay attention to politics again.
Now, here's the other side of this, and I said this recently at a party at our friend Scotty Landis's house.
Yeah.
This came up, and I was talking to somebody, and I said, look, I think Trump, in a way, is a blessing in disguise. If Hillary had been elected, I think it would have been business as usual in America. It would have been another president putting the face on for the public and continuing to do the dirty shit they have to do and the compromises or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody complains a little bit and whatever. I think Trump, in a weird way, is a blessing in disguise
I think he can be.
This is a wake-up call. You've had it. It wasn't as good as you thought it was.
I agree with that if and only if he doesn't end democracy in the United States, which I think is an actual, and I don't think I'm being a lunatic by saying that I think he could really push us towards a non-representative democracy. As soon as he was elected, one of those it's a democracy watchdog, international democracy watchdog, downgraded us from a I think the term is like pure democracy to compromised democracy.
Well, I don't have a doubt in my mind that he can and might do that. I don't have a doubt in my mind, but I've never had a belief in my heart that we ever lived in a real democracy. You know,
more people vote, 3 million people more voted for Hillary. It's like that's as a bit glaring a difference that we're not in a democracy.
I'm in a very strange predicament now because I'm the guy that for years, no matter who was president, said this place sucks and it's not
right.
It's fucked up and whatever. And
but then once Trump came to power, you're like, I like this place.
And I would always say that. I was like, your freedoms are bullshit.
Yeah.
It's all an illusion. It's all, and everybody said I was a cynic and a negative person and all these things. And now Trump is doing just now the only, not the only difference. I think he is worse than a lot of people we've had in office, obviously. But now what Trump is doing is he's showing us exactly how limited our freedoms are. And he's doing it with his dick in his hand.
Yeah.
So then people are standing by going, he can't do that. Well, obviously he can. Now, I don't like that he's doing it. But it kind of bothers me a little bit, this whole notion of like, this guy can't do that. And if you would have done this, then it would have been different. It's like, well, would it have been different? Because it doesn't seem like it was going to be that different. Kind of seems like this thing steamrolled right ahead, regardless of suspected voter fraud, regardless of blatant evidence at this point of Russia's tampering.
Yeah.
But, you know, I also then say, and, you know, this... I don't like talking about this stuff too much because it's very polarizing, but, you know, I also have a sort of, you know, if you ever saw the movie Malcolm X, when Kennedy gets assassinated, he says this is an example of the white man's chickens coming home to roost, which he got in a lot of trouble for saying. But his explanation was, look, all I'm saying is if you're a country that perpetuates violence, that violence will come home and haunt you eventually. Yeah. And it has. And he's like, I don't see how that's any different from what everybody else is saying, that we've curated a culture that has allowed something like this to happen. And I don't feel that Trump's election is an equivalent to the Kennedy assassination, but
I think it's as important in the same way.
I was going to say, in a way, it is a metaphorically, it is sort of the same thing.
I honestly think, I think when Trump got elected, we were no longer the America we were before in a very similar way as to when Kennedy was assassinated. We were a different America.
So
I think, you know, that it you'll remember where you were.
I got
when
really,
Trump got elected.
I got really annoyed when people started saying, and this is supporting my point that I'm trying to make. I got really annoyed when the rumors that Hillary was going to show up at the Oscars started going around. And people were...
I didn't hear those.
Yeah, people were... There was speculation that she might show
up. Those insider rumors that only DeRosa gets.
These... I talked to her the other day.
You think DeRosa's on your side, comma man? He's a Hollywood insider.
Well,
he's getting Oscar buzz.
Yes, Rex Reed called me. And Gene Shalit, they called me for our poker group, and they told me that Hillary might show up. There was speculation that Hillary might show up at the Oscars, and there was a certain amount of excitement around that with certain people, as there was when Al Gore showed up at the Oscars, and everybody thought that was great and all this stuff. Here's the thing. It bothered me. It bothered me that the city being the most vocal about the disgusting behaviors of Trump, about the abhorrent values of Trump and all that, is Hollywood. The very city that is perpetuated, or spearheaded, I should say, the culture that has created a perfect crossroads for somebody like Trump to become president.
Yeah, he is a reality star.
He's literally a reality star.
Yeah,
literally. This is the town that promoted reality TV, that shoved trash entertainment on everybody's throats, that only worshiped the dollar, that only made the bottom line valuable. And to watch these people that go, he's disgusting, and then they walk on the carpet with their $10,000 gowns and tuxedos on, that's gross to me. It's fucking gross. So I think to get back to our listeners' question.
Yeah, how I do think, you become how do you maintain friendships with a political divide? I think that's what we really need to get
yes.
to.
Well, here's how, and as you can tell by my explanation and my slight exasperation, I feel very in the middle of this whole thing.
Yeah.
You have to remember that there are more, it's more than a black and white issue. There are many people at fault here. Mm-hmm. There are many people that have chipped into this pot, whether they like it or not. It is the truth. And you don't have to take such black and white sides with it. What you have to do is try to understand where your neighbor or your friends or your families are coming from. You do not have to agree with them. And if it gets to an extreme case where you're saying to yourself, this person is a flat out racist, well then yes, you sever a relationship and you have to take the fallout that comes along with that. And there will be fallout, but that's the price of ethics.
I think, yeah. So to sum up, if your Trump friend is a racist, dump them. If they're just dumb, hang on to them. So, next question.
There you go. Kurt Mess. I have one from...
Well, you just did the last one.
This is a fast one. At
no
Devin
way.
Rice one.
I'm
great,
next.
Great set tonight, man. You're hilarious.
Great question, Dave. All right, here's a question. I believe she asked me to not use her name. Oh, her name is Vera. She said I can use her name. Her name is Vera. I have an odd situation with someone. This is a long one. I have an odd situation with someone I consider a best friend and who for a very long time I considered my only friend. I don't use the term friend loosely. In fact, I met my current BFF in high school. We didn't really hang out until our junior year when people considered us inseparable. Most people mistook us for sisters despite the fact that neither of us look very much alike. For a long time, I saddled her with a lot of feelings and issues I was hanging in my own life because I literally had no one else to express them to. If it hadn't been for social media, we may have never talked again after high school, as I'm terrible with keeping in touch with people. But through the beauty of Facebook and Skype, we spoke almost every day our freshman year of college. All that aside, I recognized early on that I was expecting more of her than she was of me, but I've never really told her. I even went through a period where I entertained romantic feelings for her, but I wasn't sure if those were genuine, and I never voiced them. Nearly 9 years later, we're still really close, and we've both grown emotionally and learned a little more about ourselves. I've noticed more of a change in her, which she's become more open-minded. The point is, would it now be appropriate to tell her about the romantic feelings I once had and sort of still have, or should I just keep them? She's quite religious, and I know if I bring it up, it could destroy what we've had, and I'll lose a long-time confidant. Can you and Joe help me?
Well, why don't you take it away?
This is a tough
one. That's a tough one.
These are long. These are good.
Which is great. That's not a complaint, but they're long. There's a lot of information to take in.
So just to sum up, for those who might have like drifted off while I was reading, their best friends have been since high school. They're both ladies. Her best friend is religious. In college, she had kind of romantic feelings for her, never told her. And now... wonders, because she seems to be a little more open-minded, if she should tell her that she had emotional feelings for her, you know, romantic feelings for her. But she's religious, so it could blow up the whole situation if she does. My feeling, Lynn, this is just my gut punch reaction, is not to tell her.
Really?
Especially if she's religious. Oh, and here's another little piece, too. She sent a follow-up.
Speaking of peace, if you play your cards right, miss... you might get some.
P.S. She is currently in a relationship with her boyfriend of 3 years, and at least she's happy. I don't really care for him. All right. So then,
and what's this caller's name again?
Vera.
Vera.
So Vera. Right there.
The people all said, "Sit down, sit down. You're rocking the boat. don't rock the boat, Vera."
It's if she's in a relationship with a dude, I think that you should not tell her of your romantic feelings. However,
if that dude is Jesus, definitely don't tell. No, I'm kidding.
But if possibly she gets out of that relationship at some point and seems to be possibly interested in women, maybe. But it's a real risk. It seems to me to be too risky, because you risk a great friendship.
Look,
seems like
right,
a 9-year
right
friendship.
Right now, it's most people would argue, doesn't matter, religion, not religion, man, woman, man, whatever. It's wholly inappropriate to tell somebody something like that if they're in a relationship and you're close to them and you respect them. That's just not an appropriate thing to say to somebody because it's jarring for a million other reasons. That being said, if she does get out of the relationship, I agree with Kurt, and you feel like there's a window there to maybe make a vulnerable move, you can make it. I think there are a lot of ways to make it where it doesn't have to be some forward pass.
I've got a way to make it right here. This is it, ready? Yeah. She gets out of the relationship. She's sad. Come on over. We're going to get wasted together. They get drunk. It's 2 a.m.
They're both
on the couch.
This is the advice you give her? Get her shit-faced? The hell is the matter with you?
But then I'm saying, see if maybe a little smooching happens. And then if...
I'd say, let's dial that back.
Let's not wasted.
Let's dial that back, cabin in the woods, Kurt.
Do you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ. Go to a happy hour, have two Cosmos, get a little loosey-goosey.
And then maybe see if something...
Start reminiscing, and then you can maybe... You'll have the guts and the you know, to go, yeah, I had the biggest crush on you in college. And then that's it.
Yeah, I think, you can drop it like that. That's a much healthier way of doing it. Mine involved, like, a sleepover and probably inappropriate moments.
A forced sleepover when she collapses on the kitchen floor from too many Jaeger bombs. But I would say there's no need to say anything now. And also, I wouldn't... Look, unless she's a religious person where she flat out says... I think homosexuality is wrong. And if she is that person, I would definitely not tell her this because clearly she's not going to be open to it. But if she's a progressive religious person, as many people are, I mean, I know plenty of very, very happy gay people in relationships, in the Catholic Church, in the Jewish faith. Like, it's...
Yeah, religion. Religion has to do with whether or not she... finds women attractive in a general sense. I think that's more important than religion. Also, if you guys are as close as you think, she probably already knows. She probably knows the way you look at her and stuff like that, that maybe that was a possibility. What?
Just, that's a funny way to put it. She knows the way you look at her. It's just every movie where, like, the guy has an affair with the neighbor's wife. And the wife goes, there's always that scene where the wife goes, you think I don't see the way you look at me? there's always that scene.
It is that sixth sense that I do believe men lack. I can't tell any looks.
All right, so
I can physically tell if someone's looking at me, but that's all I can tell.
I was out on a date once with a girl, and now, in my defense, she was wearing a low-cut top.
Uh-huh.
And she was well endowed.
Mm-hmm.
And we had also hooked up before.
Okay.
But halfway through the date, she's like, do you want to stare at my tits anymore? And I was like, wait, what? And she was like, you've been looking at my boobs like every 10 seconds. And I didn't even realize I was doing it.
I mean, it's...
But they looked magnificent. They looked wonderful.
I honestly, I find it difficult. If their breasts are on display, I have to make a conscious effort to look at their eyes, like, the whole time. Because part of it's almost just curiosity. You know, if they're out on a plate, you're just like, let's look at the plate, you know?
If you're out on a... If
the tits are on a plate, you're just like, what's the plate? What's going on with the plate? How are they out there that much?
Let's carve them tits up for Din Din.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm cabin in the woods.
Let's get some cranberry sauce and stuff in with those. All right. Let's stop before we get to...
Question. Right, next question.
This might be the last one in my inbox. I thought I had more than this, but... this actually was one that went to both of us, and we actually responded, but we should read it on the show. This is from somebody named Pierre Pressure on Twitter. And this is just his advice per some of the things we've said about Kurt having a kid and how will it affect his friendship and this, that, and the other thing. Had a quick thought about losing friends after you have kids. Again, we're tying back now into our first question of the day. As a father of a three-year-old, I've noticed that once you actually have a kid, people assume you won't have time to do anything, so you won't receive as many invites. So you'll feel like you're missing out on your old friends and eventually grow apart. If you, as a father, still make plans to go out and won't lose your friends. So that's what we were saying earlier. If you, as a father, still make plans to go out, yeah, you won't lose friends. And of course, as a mother, he's just writing this to Kurt. That's why it's his father. It is a hard balance to maintain work, family, and friends, but the friends that you want to stick around will. Again, if they're your real friends, they're not going to be like, fuck off, you're boring now, and I don't understand that you have less time, as long as you're making it known to them,
yeah,
that you care.
Yeah.
You'll still be able to go out and do just about everything with a kid, just takes a bit more planning. That's the thing I agreed with, too. Thank you, Pierre. That's the thing I agree with, too. And I used to have a bit in my act about this. This fucking nonsense, man. This fucking nonsense that so many new parents do. You know, we got to get back. We got to get back the sitter. We got to sit. I'll give you the extra $12. Relax.
Don't you realize, Joe?
What?
That we got to get back the sitter is... I'm leaving. I want to go.
Well, then fuck off. You don't deserve your friends.
But also it's like, this is how much, here's the deal too. It's like when you're hanging out, when you have kids,
Have a kid yet.
Well,
don't talk like an expert just yet.
But it's like, it's not like you can hang out and get wasted. You have to be sober. So it's like you've had your two drinks.
Okay.
You got to go home. You got to wake up at fucking 4 a.m. So you're just going to be like, listen, I can stay for this amount of time.
That's not what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's not what I'm talking about. This joke used to get applause breaks because everybody knew exactly what I was talking about. There are parents that think if they leave their kid with a sitter for more than 2 hours, it's somehow bad for the kid. And my response to that has always been, he's got shit for brains. He's 6 months. He doesn't know who the fuck you are. Okay. Your kid will be fine. Watch the football game. Watch the whole game. You can stay for the whole game.
You have never had something you love.
I've had a lot that I love. I just don't let it control me or change who I am or make me a sacrifice for it. Do you know what I mean?
I understand both sides of this.
All right.
I understand both sides of it. I can understand you just, especially with a new child, just being like, so I can't relax because I am this thing. I want to make sure it's okay.
I understand.
Human that. Being that is a part of me.
That I understand.
Yeah.
Then say that. Say
yeah,
that.
That's a real emotionally exhausting person at a party going to each person. Hey, listen, it was great seeing you, but I'm emotionally invested in this human being.
Just
I've
say,
created.
I just say, I, it's hard to. I, she's still young. I got to get home. That's all.
You really came one. You came 180 on this.
How did I
this
come 180?
Well, you don't want him to say I got the sitter.
I'm saying don't say we got to get back because it's not good if she's away from us for more than 2 hours. There are parents that say that.
Okay.
And it's like it's insane to me. There are people. I'm talking about there are parents that take it to this extreme. There are parents that I hear what you're saying. It makes sense. All that shit. There are parents that take it to this extreme,
yeah,
where every element of it is so important.
And right,
it's like,
of course.
For Christ's sakes, guys! Yeah. Like, let's.
I'm gonna strap my baby onto my chest, and I'm gonna come hang out with you here. So just you're gonna be hanging out and just baby bouncing around,
dude. You sold out, dude. We're not friends anymore.
I've got the next question. You just went. Here we go. Question for emotional hangs. This is from Michelle. With several of my adult friendships, I notice that I am the one initiating texts and hangouts 99% of the time. This feels crummy. If I stop, I don't hear from the person. This also feels crummy. Is it better to have friends that you do all the work to keep or to dump those friends and be righteously lonely? Great question, Michelle.
Very great.
It's a good question. I feel like there are certain friendships where that's just... A pattern was established early on, and it's not, I think that the main, like a pattern was established early on and the person likes you, but they're just, it's just, they know that you'll be the one to initiate contact. And so they take you for granted a little bit. However, if there are actual relationships where you feel like the person doesn't value you, those are the ones to get rid of. But just because you initiate the hangouts doesn't necessarily mean that it's a flawed friendship. And it's something that could easily be brought up to kind of like suss out who's the shitty friend and who's a good friend who's just a little lazy. Because I feel like I have friends that they initiate with me all the time, and I really appreciate it. And I don't know if I tell them that I appreciate it, because I get forgetful, I get busy, I'm not hanging out. But they initiate, and I'm like, I'm so happy they reached out. Yes, let's hang out.
Right. I agree with Kurt. You know, because I am definitely the facilitator friend. I'm mm-hmm. always trying to organize things and get hangs going and stuff. And there have been moments where I felt like, you know, man, does anybody even care? Like, I'm always the one, you know?
Yeah.
But I noticed that there were times where I'd go away for a long time and I'd come back and friends would say, dude, man, we missed you. It's not fun when you're not around or whatever. And I was like, I was like, you know what? It's all good. That's just, some people play that role and others don't. Some people are just more alpha.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Scott, who I grew up with, is like that. He's my oldest friend in the world, and he's family at this point. But he's the guy. You know, we used to call him the business, because he'd be like, all right, here's how it goes. Friday, I got us a limo. Fuck it, Daddy's paying for it. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean?
I like this guy. I want to hang out with this guy.
He's awesome. He's a lot of fun.
Especially if he always refers to himself as Daddy and pays
for
things.
Well, he used to call himself, as a joke, Daddy Warbucks, because he had money and we didn't.
Yeah.
But it was when we were young. It wasn't like a swingers, like Daddy's. It wasn't like that. But he would do that. He'd be like, we go to this strip club. Then we're going here. Then there's the bar. Then he would just fucking, he planned the shit, man.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And I never did that. And it wasn't until I became a guy that tried to do... I never did anything that good, but, you know, that started to say, let's all meet at this bar or whatever, that I noticed, like, oh, shit, I never really appreciated that about my friend. You know, but I also didn't... I did not appreciate it. I just didn't realize, like, oh, he's the dude that does this all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so... So I think it's great that you do that, you know, and like and
also it could possibly be that the person doesn't realize that they're dropping the ball. I think you got to just let them know.
I mean, but here's the thing. I don't know if letting them look. I think it's very easy to tell the difference between somebody who doesn't appreciate you mm-hmm. and somebody who just functions very differently than you do.
Yeah.
And I think if you have friends that function differently than you do, that's okay. And I think you can be proud of the fact that you're the one that gets the good times going. I think that's actually a really beautiful thing. Now, if you are the one that initiates this and these people show up and they're dead fucking weight and they don't give a shit and they could take it or leave it, well, then that's different. But if you guys are getting together and having a fucking great time, as long as it's not all on your dime every time, I'd say you're the leader. You're the boss.
Yeah, you could always just think of it as an asset as opposed to a whatever the opposite of an asset is, a loss.
Yes,
really lost on that meta, whatever that is.
I'm out of questions. Do you have one?
Yeah,
more?
Yeah, I got one.
All right, and then we'll wrap it up.
This is a really long one. I'm gonna just get into it because this guy was willing to tell us all this. Here we go. I have to change names, and there's a lot of names. All right, my friend Tim and I were friends since second grade. We grew up blocks away from each other, went to grade school together, watched cartoons, etc.
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
He's asking you to change the names?
He did.
He couldn't change the names in the message? I mean, come on.
I think he asked me to change the
names. You know, that's a fair point I'm making. Come on, change the goddamn names yourself. Now you got to remember who Tim is throughout the whole story and keep
changing. And also, it's a really long story. Like, normally it would be fine to remember who Tim is. But, and he does, he says, if you do use it as a segment, I ask that you please omit names for privacy. Oh, he didn't ask me to make up new names. he just asked me to not use
names. Why didn't he just omit the names?
Here we go. We stayed friends through middle and high school and even went to college together. He was always shy and quiet, and I'm a bit more extroverted and tried to help him break out of his shell, especially in college. But it always seemed like he was never trying, and it soon was a detriment to bring him with me when doing more social events. We drifted apart after we graduated college, but still shared the same friend group. A few years later, his sister was getting married, and he invited every one of our mutual friends to her wedding but me. I found this only out from another close mutual friend, and I was hurt, but my ego made me dismiss it. At this point, I cut off all contact. Fast forward to last year, happily dating a woman for a few years, we decide to go to a music fest in NYC. We got a group, and she and I bring friends. One of my friends brings Tim, I almost said his real name, who I had seen in passing but not spent time with for years. He ends up drunkenly hooking up with my girlfriend's friend and starts seeing each other. I protest and tell her that I'm not a fan of his or this friend's group's dating, but she continues to, as is her right, but I'm still hurt. I take it as a personal slight to this day. A year later, present day, they are in love and have just moved in together. He did reach out once they started dating to apologize for not inviting me to his sister's wedding, and there's a diplomatic peace between us. While I want to be mature and say, well, at least these two people are happy, weirdly, for my doing, I can't help but just be annoyed. I don't talk to either of them much, just friendly small talk when our paths cross, and I can't shake my annoyance. My girlfriend is not a fan either. Curious to hear what you and Joe think about this. Friends dating other friends and what you do when you are faced with selfish pain in the face of what you know should be happiness. I've got a feeling right off the bat, Joe. Can I go? Can
yeah,
I go?
Go. Go, Kurt. You didn't talk long enough just then?
I feel
talk
like...
Talk some more.
Thank you. I feel like he's got to get over it. This is... It's his sister's wedding. It's not that big of a deal. Even if his sister was like the coolest person you ever met, it's his sister's wedding. It's not his wedding. These two people are in love. You got to find a way to just be cool with it. I understand that you're annoyed. It's fine to be annoyed, but you also have to realize that there's like a bigger thing going on here than your annoyance. Also, you dropped him first. Who gives a fuck? You right. dropped you. You were like, meh, get rid of this guy. He's weird in groups. I don't want him hanging out. And then he doesn't invite you. So who gives a shit? You know, get over it.
Yeah, no, I agree with everything you're saying. I think this particular listener's got some real entitlement issues.
And we are not trying to come down hard
asking
on you,
us
man.
To admit the names for him, drops the friend, now he's mad he doesn't get the invite.
I mean, that's the thing. If you drop a friend, you got to accept
yeah,
that it's going to happen where you just don't get invited to his sister's wedding. It doesn't
and
seem like you deserve it.
It's his sister.
It's his sister, too.
Who cares?
But also, possibly it was a real fun wedding. But also, it's a wedding. So
it's
what?
Not your day.
It's not your
it's
day.
It's not even his day. It's her day.
And here's the deal. I understand. I respect that you're asking us because it definitely bothers you.
Right.
And I can see where your bothering is coming from. But I think it's time to suck it up and just be the better man in this situation.
It's not being the better man. The other guy didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, the other guy definitely excluded him, tried to hurt him by not inviting him to the wedding.
No, you're saying the other guy dropped him first.
I did. He did.
He dropped him. It's like, what is he supposed to do? Invite him anyway? The other guy didn't do anything wrong. He's annoying. Fine, but he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't use the term better man.
Okay.
I just say you made your bed, you got to lie in it sometimes. Look, look, here's the thing. And I can say this with confidence and experience. And it's all because of the business I work in. I have made some decisions in this business to alienate people there without question.
Yes.
And one thing I learned was what you can't do is go, fuck that guy. I don't want to have anything to do with that bullshit they're doing over there. And then sit there and go, why didn't they ask me to do it? You can't do that. You got to. Yeah. There's good and bad that comes with everything. You got to take your lumps, and that's just life, man. So I know this is a bit of tough love.
It's tough love. We still appreciate the question, but you do need it, guys. That has been Emotional Hangs. If you have any questions, you can DM them to me or Joe on Twitter. I'm at Kurt Brownell. He's at Joe DeRosa Comedy. And go watch our specials. Go rate us on iTunes.
The podcast. Follow the podcast.
Subscribe to us. Let's just subscribe to us.
Yeah, subscribe. @EmotionalHangs on Twitter.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Feral Audio.